It is good to see everyone today, and we are so glad you are with us as we continue our series on faith, message I've entitled, Where Faith Stands Alone. And our first verse today is going to be Hebrews 11, verse 7. Today is October 8, 2017, as we are having our Sunday morning worship service here in Wayne County, Tennessee, in our prayers. Go out to the folks in Las Vegas today, those who lost loved ones. We pray God's strength and comfort. And for those that are injured physically and spiritually and mentally and emotionally, we pray God's ministry to their hearts and their minds and their bodies during this time in our country. And before I begin today, we had a praise a moment ago concerning the doctors in our town here in Waynesboro, Tennessee, and we do praise God for them. But I also want to praise God for our teachers here in Wayne County, Tennessee, our elementary, middle, and high school teachers that have such compassion for our students and such a love for them and go the extra mile. Over the years that I've been here, the last 20 years, it's just incredible, and I just praise God for all of you, and just praise God for the blood. There are a lot of good people in America, you know, we can't forget that. There are a lot of good people in our community, in the medical profession, and teaching, in all kind of different areas, and we just praise God for His goodness. You overcome evil with goodness. You know, and so we pray for the light of Jesus Christ to shine within and upon our nation during these days. He's the only answer. All right, I'm not going to get off my sermon today, but He is the only answer. All right, where faith stands alone. I'm going to read to you a couple of verses, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and then I'll emphasize the phrases I want to emphasize. We've begun this series talking about hearing and recognizing the voice of God. That's the first step of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing God and knowing within when God is speaking to you. The second step of that, the second part of that first step is stepping, is making that step. We saw last week, Peter stepped out of that boat and he walked on water. He may have taken three steps on water. He may have walked the distance from the end line to the top of the quay. We don't know. But we know he walked on water. He got out the boat. And that was a great, great work in the kingdom of God. And when he took his eyes off the Lord, he did not sink. He began to sink. And when he began to sink, guess what happened? The arm of grace reached out and grabbed and carried him back to the boat. So God honors faith. You don't have to have the greatest faith. Your faith doesn't even have to always be consistent. But there's got to be a degree of faith to allow the Lord to work. Without faith, without any faith, it's impossible to please Him and get done in your life what needs to be done. So let's look at when faith absolutely stands alone. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, the scripture says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear and built an ark to the saving of his house." What was he warned of? He was warned that it was going to rain. All right, it had never rained before on the face of the earth. The earth had been encapsulated by vapor, and the creation scientists say that it provided a temperate climate all throughout the world, and that everything was watered and nature was taken care of in an amazing way. So he was warned of 40 days and 40 nights of rain, and I'm not sure he could explain it to other people when they said, "Why are you building this ark?" So, totally unknown and unseen, faith is standing alone. In verse 8, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he went, not knowing where he was going. I have never in my life left my house to go on a trip and not had a destination. Even if it's the gas station or the grocery store." Abraham left, packed up everything, not knowing where he was going. His faith was standing absolutely alone. Look at what it says about Moses. Jump over to verse 27. It says, by faith Moses forsook Egypt. Now, he not only left Egypt, he left his standing in Egypt. He was an adopted prince. He was in the ruling elite family. He had riches all over him and all in his life. The best education, the best palace, the best life. Everyone at his beck and call. And by faith, he left all that comfort, all those riches, went to the backside of a desert as seeing someone, God, who was invisible. Everything went against that decision. Everything. But by faith, he went. Now, go back with me. Let's see, to verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the spoken word of God, so that things which are seen were not made from things which do appear. Not made from things which do appear. You go to bake a cake, you've already got the ingredients, you put them together, you bake the cake. We see an oak tree out there. We figure an acorn got buried in the ground, took root, and produced an oak tree. But all of creation was brought into existence from things that weren't previously there and did not appear. Amen. Faith stands alone. If you believe in the creation story, that stands alone. He spoke, and it was done. All right? No scientific explanation for that. Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence, faith exists in a realm, and I'll give you that word for evidence in a moment, of things not seen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray to you right now as the unseen God. I ask you to forgive me of daily sin and weekly sin. Because, Father, my sin is filthy rags in the purity of your eyes. And I am sorry that I've not allowed you to win more victories in the carnality of my nature up to this point. But I am determined. And I'm not going to quit confessing. And I am not going to quit asking and seeking the wisdom of God. And I know in confession, Lord, out loud in my prayer closet through the week, the blood of Jesus cleanses me of sin, as I'm asking for cleansing now and an anointing of your Spirit upon my mind, body, heart, soul, thoughts, and a filling of your Spirit within my body, which is the temple of God, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And I pray for a spirit of humility and meekness and foot washing. Father, that I am serving these people who are in this building and who are listening the Word of God. I am a servant, Lord Jesus. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit just takes over. Father, we can't see you, but you are like the wind. We can feel you. Father, we've just had a hurricane hit again. On the Gulf Coast, we couldn't see that wind, but we could see what it was doing to the trees and the buildings and the waves and the water. And Father, your Holy Spirit is that powerful upon us and within us. When you move upon our hearts and minds to bring up somebody for prayer, when you move upon our hearts and minds to make a phone call, when you move upon our hearts and minds to make a decision or to take an action, your Holy Spirit is as real and powerful, and the effects are just as real and powerful as the wind of a hurricane. And I want to thank you, Lord, for your definitive voice. When you speak to me and say, Leo, you need to do this. Leo, you need to not do this. Leo, you need to move in this direction. Leo, it's time. Father, I want to thank you for the definitive voice that speaks to every child of God, the urgings, the movements upon our heart and mind, that is the reality of a relationship personally with Jesus. And so, Father, I pray that power move upon us and within us. everyone that is in this room and everyone that's listening today. And bless us, Lord, as we look at the supernatural gift of our faith. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, now look at what the scripture says in Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah. Now, I just want to grab that very quickly. By the energy of faith, by the divine gift of faith, by the influence of faith, unto every man is given the same measure of faith. I want you to understand, your faith is a supernatural, spiritual gift from God that is an extra sensory, spiritual perception that you have from the Lord. And when the Holy Spirit comes into you, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. Jesus said, "My Spirit I will send unto you." So I want you to understand, the perfect and powerful faith of Jesus Christ is part of the byproduct of the Holy Spirit in your heart. So we're talking about the supernatural divine faith that you possess as a child of God, as a believer. Noah was a believer. So notice how these decisions were made and these actions were taken. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Of things not seen as yet. There were no circumstances that were going to help him at this moment build an ark. There was no way he was going to take the next 100 years of his life, or whatever the time frame was, to build this ark. And there was no sign of rain because it had never rained. There was no sign of judgment because God's judgment had never been poured out upon the earth. Noah had nothing to go by but the warning and the word of God moving upon him. If you look at verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called and told by God to go somewhere, he went not knowing where he went. God didn't tell him, "You're going to Omaha. You know, you're going to Toledo." God didn't tell him, "I'm moving you down to the Sinai Peninsula." All God told him was, "You got to leave where you are right now." That's all God told him. You got to do this right now. Now I'm going to tell you, fallen human nature, you know what we want to know? We want to know the end from the beginning. Well, what if I do this, will this happen? What if I do this, will this happen? My friend, I'm going to show you in a moment what you got to focus on. Now, Paul talks about the things that are known and the things that are unknown. We waste a lot of time in our walk with Jesus Christ focusing on things we can never know. Because guess what? Leo Doyle, Dave Hastings, Sander, we can't see the future. We cannot see the future. But we can see the right now and we can hear the voice of God. So those are the things you got to work on. You got to work on being open to. You got to work on being able to recognize. And you got to work on hearing the definitive voice of God concerning specific situations in your life. I just told you about two specific situations. I didn't tell you Noah had a general faith. You know, we walk into any church in this county, right? Do you have, "Oh, I got a lot of faith." You know, people will tell you that just because they've attended church all their life. I just told you about two specific situations. Noah was asked to build an ark. That's all this talks about. Doesn't talk about how he was to raise his family. Doesn't talk about how many oxen he was to own. How to build an ark. In Abraham's case, it was talk about there was one situation where he was told to make a specific physical move in his life. Leo, you're to move from Charleston to Brevard. Leo, you're now to move from Brevard to Wayne County. You know, a physical move in his life. Well, Brother Leo, there weren't circumstances that weighed into your move? Not really. The circumstances were, when I left my first church to go to my second church, the church was growing. Everything was wonderful. We were building a gymnasium social hall that is incredible. Nothing in this county compares to it. And financially, everything was great. And God said, "Move." Now, when I left Brevard, or left that ministry, everything was going well with everybody but me. And in my heart, I knew God was calling me to something. I just didn't know what He was calling me to. It wasn't like I had another church somewhere to go to. It was like I told Patty, "Patty, I don't know what we're going to do, but God's leading me to step down." Not knowing where I was going or what I was going to do. So faith moves that way in your life. Now, do I feel more blessed at this point in my life than I've ever been exponentially? Certainly I do. Patty and I actually, and it happened this weekend, it could have happened this morning, but we were rushing around a bit. But yesterday, or last night, we sat down on that front porch and that tropical breeze was blowing through and there was, you know, a drizzle of rain falling, and right out front in a hollow tree, we've got about 6 little baby squirrels that have been born, and we're watching them grow up. And I say, "Patty, we are just so blessed." And I must say that to her 20 times a week, just sitting down to eat supper. But the bottom line is, I had to take a step one time 20-something years ago, not knowing where my next paycheck was coming from, not knowing where I was going to live, not even knowing what I was going to do. But I want to praise God. I know the God that does know the future. Amen. And you know the God that knows the plan. But if He showed you the end from the beginning, you wouldn't be stepping out in faith. And God can only honor faith. So let me show you that word. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. I don't like the King James translations of two words in this verse. So let me give you the Greek. Where it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." That word "substance" is hypostasis. Anytime you see hupo, H-U-P-O in the Greek, it means under. Hypostasis, it means a basis for a foundation. The hupo means a basis for a foundation. Stasis is the aspect that brings in confident expectation or trusting. So faith is the foundation of our life that is our confident expectation and trust in God. All right, grab that. That's the definition, part one. Faith is the foundation or the basis of our life that is our confident expectation and trust in God. Now that makes a whole lot more sense than substance. Now I'm sure they couldn't put all those words in there for a reason. And again, this is 1670 and they didn't have the tools we have today. So faith is the basis of your life. And you know, you say today, how strong is your foundation? Man, you just want to keep strengthening that foundation of faith. Of confident expectation and trust in God. And then it goes on to use this word. And faith is the evidence of things not seen. That evidence is elegcho, E-L-E-G-C-H-O-S. And it means this. It means an inward mental conviction. And we're getting a little bit deeper into the word through Zodites. And others that I read. An inward mental conviction concerning a specific truth. So what it is there, faith is my inward mental conviction concerning a specific truth. So in verse 2 it says, "For by it the elders obtained a good witness. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God." So what does that mean? I have an inner conviction. I am absolutely persuaded and I am inwardly certain that the worlds were framed by the spoken word of God. That's why it says through faith. I have an inward conviction. I have a mental persuasion that Jesus Christ carried the sins, judgment, and wrath of God when He was on the cross for Leo Dole and all of humanity. I don't know how He did it, but He's God and He did it. And I have an inward mental conviction, and I am fully persuaded that 3 days later, Jesus Christ came alive out of the grave. And I have an inward mental conviction that He ascended to heaven in bodily form, glorified bodily form. He is now at the right hand of the throne of God. That He sends the reality of His Holy Spirit into my heart and every other heart who is a believer. And these things I know that I know that I know. And my faith stands alone on these things. And you know, a lot of times we sit with agnostics, we sit with atheists, and they want to discuss things. And they want to say unto you, well, you need to prove that. I don't need to prove anything. My faith tells me it's true.
Yes.
Well, how are you going to help these people? These people are never going to be helped until they come to the place where they sincerely want help. You only find Jesus when you come to a place where you can honestly look to God and say, I want to seek the truth and I want to find out if God is real. But when you're debating or discussing with a person that is taking the point of view that you got to prove to me God exists, my friend, I don't have to prove to you your Creator exists. He will prove it Himself one day, and I hope you find Him before it's too late. Well, you're going to offend people that way. My friend, the truth, if it offends, it offends. But that's the truth. Every man's going to one day deal with Jesus Christ.
Yes,
and He's real. And so my faith convinces me of that. This inner mental persuasion. Now go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul's giving you his definition of faith. And I just want to pause right now and praise Jesus for the rain this fall. Because my place is very much dried out, and I know y'all's are too, and we got a lot of people that depend on creeks. If you're listening by the internet, we have a lot of folks that depend on creeks and springs for their water. And you're right, a lot of us here in Tennessee do not have indoor plumbing. But so we're very grateful for the rain that's fallen. It helps out our outhouses and those things. Tim got an email from a guy in Australia. You people really have no plumbing? No, we don't. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 says this. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak. But don't miss what I just read. We having the same spirit of faith. Paul says, I'm writing to you who has the same spirit of faith that I have. We all are connected as the children of God by what the Bible now calls, what Paul calls, the spirit of faith. Isn't that beautiful? You know what the Holy Spirit is? The Spirit of faith. Will you say that with me? The Spirit of faith. Say it again. The Spirit of faith. You got the Spirit of faith. Keep your hand there and let me show you another verse. Go to 2 Peter 1. See, we overlook these things. You've got it. All you got to say now, you know, we got brought up people that we're praying for. We need to pray for them. And then we need to say, Jesus, what can I do? What do you want me to do? To be a blessing, to be a vessel used of you, to minister just in the name of Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, and look at what it says. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained the same precious faith with us. How do you obtain that faith? You obtain it when you get saved. We're not talking about the faith to believe in Jesus. Everybody's got that. That's called an ability. That's called part of the spirit man has that needs to be united with God's Holy Spirit. Until that happens, there's a void there. There's a void there, and it's empty. And it destroys people in their lives. I heard this, I guess yesterday or this morning, that in 2015, the man that opened fire in Las Vegas, on his tax return, there was a net worth of $5 million. $5 million. $5 million, and then they described him as a loner, a man that he came out to look at a car on a car lot. He said he was a loner. He was one of the most depressed people I've ever met in my life, and really, I just wanted to get away from him. So I want to tell you, my friend, I would rather have 5 cents with the power of Jesus Christ in my heart. And you know, God help people that don't have Jesus. There is a void, there is an emptiness. And let me tell you something, the devil wants to isolate them. The devil wants to isolate Christians. He don't, if you're going through a hard time, stay home. All right, that's the word from the devil. If you're going through a hard time, just turn within and stay home. Because then God's people can't minister to you. So that's a lie from the devil. Now look at what it says. Who have obtained like precious faith with us through what? The righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So you have a spirit of faith that's been given to you by the righteousness of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So when you get saved, that's one aspect of the Holy Spirit that's in you. You've got faith and you want to operate in your faith. Many Christians never utilize their faith. And they live their whole life making decisions solely based on circumstances. Now, God can use circumstances, but God desires to use your faith. Now, back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, he says, we have in the same spirit of faith. Verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us up also by Jesus and present us with you. So, through my faith, I know Jesus rose again, and I know I'm going to rise. There are certain things I know because of my faith. And notice what he says in verse 16, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Paul's saying we're going through hard times. Things are rough. People are putting us in prison and in dungeons. People are hateful toward us. People are wanting to stone us and scourge us. But because I believe in eternity, I'm going to keep going. Yeah. So it's a great thing that you and I can walk into a funeral home today and say, this is not all there is. Yeah. You and I can go anywhere and say, well, you know, my dearly departed loved one, I loved them while they were here. I want to thank God they're not suffering. And I want to praise God they're whole with Jesus. And we know that. We're not hoping. And so that our faith is a great power that gets us through this life. We're certain about these things. And notice what he says. While we look not at the things which are seen. Now that phrase, why we look not, it means this. It means not focusing on the things that you focus on. And notice what he says. Why we focus not on the things which are seen, which are temporary, but we focus on the things that are eternal, to contemplate, to give attention to focus on. So what is it that we focus on? What is it that we're to focus on? Well, let me show you this verse. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul makes a tremendous point. And then I'll close out with Romans 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3, Paul says this, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The Holy Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom or in the power of men, but in the wisdom and in the power of God. So what are the things you need to focus on today? I want you to think about a specific situation you may be going through. Now, you can allow the circumstances to help you. They're there and they're real. But I want to give you 4 things very quickly based on this verse. 4 words. Our focus, the things we need to look at, our reliance, our faith needs to be on the power, the ability, the faithfulness, and the promises of God. Don't leave that out. People leave that out. The power, the ability, the faithfulness, and the promises of God. You got to make a decision. Please factor those things in. Please allow those things to have priority. All right? You got this circumstance in this situation. You got this circumstance. You got this one. You got this one. Lay them out before the Lord. And then above those things in this huge divine umbrella, say, Lord, I'm bringing these things before you. I'm placing them on the altar. But I'm focusing on the power, the ability, the faithfulness of you in this situation, and the promises you have concerning how you'll handle this. And then things will start melding together. You'll get a flow. And it won't be, I just don't know what to do. Now you're going to have to do it for a little while. Let me show you one great example of how this happened. Go to Romans chapter 4. And I'm going to close out and we're going to give a time of invitation. And in Romans chapter 4, verse 19, it is speaking, the word is speaking about Abraham. And it says this, Abraham, and I want you to think about a situation like this in your life that you may have given up on. Sometimes we quit praying for people because they hadn't got saved in the last 10 years. Sometimes we quit praying about a situation because it hadn't changed in the last 10 years. As a matter of fact, it's gotten worse. One thing I learned when we went through some very, very, very difficult times, that I finally figured out that the reason every phone call you got, the situation got worse, it was a ploy of the devil. And it was a test of my faith. So when the devil turned up the heat, I got more in the prayer closet. There was something else. There was a little bit deeper God wanted me to go. So when the flames got hotter, you had to keep going deeper. Now, look at what it says. Verse 19, being not weak in faith. And here's that same phrase here. Abraham did not consider his own body now dead, 100 years old. He did not focus on the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God promised, he had the ability and the power to perform. Yeah. So what I want you to understand, you can focus on some of these other things to a degree. But for goodness sake, don't leave out the power, the ability, the faithfulness, and the promises of God.
Amen.
God desires your loved ones to be saved.
Yeah.
He desires all men be saved. God desires there to be peace and harmony with relationships, within family units and other things. God desires people look to Him as Lord in their lives. You can pray many, many things in the will of God. God desires these young people that we're concerned about in our schools and things, that they be blessed and situations be resolved through the wisdom of God. So God will give you, through a manner of prayer and faith, the direction and the guidance you need. And sometimes faith has to stand alone. You just have to step out the boat. I mean, I want you to understand, think about Abraham as I'm close. I'm 100 years old. My body is a million, million times too weak to father a child. My wife's in the same situation. How many of us would just keep crying out to God's power? There's no way I'm going to have a child.
Amen.
And you're right. There is no way you.
That's right.
But there is nothing impossible with God.
Amen.
I texted Patty the other day. I'd gotten off my diet and was not feeling well. And I texted her the other day and I said, sometimes I just want to give up. I said, I've been fighting this battle since 1982. And Patty texts her back. She was at school. She said, I believe in miracles.
Yeah.
So you don't give up. You do everything you can do through the wisdom of God.
Yeah.
You do everything you can do, but you still hold on to the miracle. The prayer is, Lord, I pray tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up healthier and stronger than I've ever been in my life. Yeah. Well, boy, Brother Leo, you're sure asking a lot. No, I'm trusting in the power of God. Yeah. I mean, He can do whatever He wants to do. He knows what's best. If I need to carry a disease to stay in a spirit of humility and meekness, then that's fine. But we trust God. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, Judy's going to come play softly. And I'm going to ask you again to take a situation before the Lord, to thank the Lord that you possess within yourself the energy of faith, and based on your faith, in the power, in the ability, in the faithfulness, and in the Word of God. And you need to say it. See, the more I say those things, the more it invigorates me spiritually. So you can cry that, Lord, I trust your power, your ability to intervene. I know you're faithful. You're involved in this thing. You're not going to leave us empty-handed. And Father, your Word has promised this for this situation. Your Word has promised this. And you plead these things before God. And you ask the Lord, Lord, by the energy and the spirit of the faith of Jesus Christ that lives within me, show me, Lord, the step that I need to take. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you feel like the Holy Spirit's put it on your heart to come forward and make a decision for Christ, I'm going to ask you to come. And if you're here today and you want to come forward and have a word of prayer with me, I'm going to ask you to come. But let's spend these moments praying about one specific situation where you have the opportunity to enjoy and experience the power of your faith in Jesus Christ moving and working upon this area of your life. With heads bowed and eyes closed.